going to be talking this morning on, I kind of titled it A Wise Woman, but I thought I would lose all the men. So it's just wisdom for life. I don't know if that, oh, wise woman, look at that. God bless you guys. I only sent those this morning. Well done. Proverbs 14:1 says this, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. And just so we conclude all the men, Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Wisdom. Building your home, or let's broaden it a little bit, building your life with wisdom. Yes. How do we do that? We all want to make right decisions, right choices, great choices. So what's stopping us? And I just thought I would share just a few things on building your home or building your life out of the Word of God. Is that okay? So the first thing I had was never stop learning and never stop asking questions. Become an avid student. Be inquisitive and learn every stage of your life. You know, I'm standing here, Steve's standing here, because we have asked lots of questions. How do we do this life? First of all, this Christian life. I remember getting saved as a 15-year-old. I just want to serve God. What does that look like? How do I do this? I'm thankful for a community of faith that helped me. People are a little bit further ahead than me. But what is it in your life that you need questions or questions answered? Yeah. What's going on in your world? It could be parenting, but it could be a whole broad spectrum of other things as well. What do you need answers for? Lord, I just need wisdom for this. I've got to make a big decision. And I've learned that part of being a great question asker and learning is to ask the right people the question. The book of Proverbs has a whole lot to say about getting wisdom. In fact, Proverbs 19:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If any of you likes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So firstly, submitting my life to the Lordship of Jesus, I got to first base. That's the first lesson in getting wisdom. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know what? That sounds really easy. Except I want to be in the driver's seat of my life. I want to be in control. I've got to make this decision. But the Bible tells me, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Everything about my life, I can submit to Him and trust Him. Because then it goes on to say, in all you acknowledge Him, He'll make straight your paths. So trust goes beyond my intellect to a deep reliance on the Lord Jesus. And again, Steve and I have done this Christian life for a lot of years now. And I'm going to tell you something. We still don't have all the answers. We still have to trust. We still have to rely on the Lord for wisdom in the season of life that we are in. I remember a number of years ago, someone came up to us and said, wow, you guys have been married a long time. What year do you get to where you don't have to work at it anymore? And I was like, yeah, that would be no year ever. Like, you work on this. Because seasons change. Chapters change. We're changing. Work life changes. Social interactions change. We're pivoting. We're being flexible. And we're trusting God in every season, right? James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, James is talking about in that particular scenario when you face trials. If you're going through trials of many kinds, ask the Lord. He'll give you wisdom. And then 1 John 4:1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the scripture tells me, be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're asking questions to. I've discovered the litmus test for me, if I have a question that I need the wisdom of God on. Are they a Christ follower? Are they a trusted friend, pastor? And do they have experience in, or can they refer me to someone who can, you know, help me in my particular issue? The problem is often we go to people who have no clue. Well, I don't know about that, but if I were you, I would do this. Christ follower first. You want someone that comes with wisdom from God's word. I want to encourage you in that. You know, a number of years ago, long time ago now, when Josh was in middle school, he was having a particularly difficult time. And I found myself in the principal's office. Some of you have found yourself in the principal's office, not as a student, but as a parent. And he was at a private Christian school, and I just want to say I think Christian schools are amazing. But for whatever reason, I would drop him off and I would watch him walk into school. It's like he just became a different kid, in a sense. It just was not the right environment for him. And you know, at the time, all our kids were going to the same school together. It was like, this is great. They get dropped off together. You know, there's things about parenting that you're like, if we can take some shortcuts and have it easier. I've discovered there's no shortcuts. Don't take them, ever. But it's hard, guys. I shout out to all the parents. It's no joke out there. It's wild. So I understand. It's like, can we just get a break? Man, social media, internet, schools, friends, where are they? Blah. So I understand. But on this particular day, I was in the principal's office and she was just downloading, you know, she was just talking through. They really wanted to, and they were just telling me some things, and I just sat there. First of all, lesson number one, it is impossible to be unbiased when it comes to your children. It just is impossible. We're joined at the hip. Sometimes people are downloading stuff to us. Sometimes we need to hear it. I'm just going to say it. Sometimes you're meeting with a teacher, youth pastor, kids pastor, and they see something in your child that you don't see. Maybe you have a blind spot too. Can I just say, listen, we, especially in our church, our youth pastors and our kids pastors are working for the benefit of your children. They absolutely are. If they come to you and say, we just see this, don't get defensive. You know, now we live in a culture where my kid is right and you're wrong. Now I'm my kid's biggest advocate. You come after them, you're going to have to come through me, even if they're adults. I'm a mama bear. But church, listen to me. Sometimes we need to hear. Because our job is to raise our kids to go live their best life. Best life isn't everything's going to be rosy. Best life is count it all joy when you face trials. Is there a foundation of faith in their world that they can hang on to? So anyway, I digress. Get out. So anyway, I just remember listening and thinking, you know, I can get a couple things, but I just don't think that's the whole picture. And I remember we had a pastor on our staff, Pastor Heidi DeVerna. Do you remember her? And again, she came over to my house and Steve and I were just talking about what do we do? There's a situation here that we don't really have an answer for. And so Heidi just happened to be coming to my house. I can't remember why. And so I was talking to her, again, Christ follower, trusted friend. And then part C, I said, this is what we've got going on with Josh. You know what she said to me? You know, my brother went through something very similar. And so my parents removed him from the Christian school and placed him in public school, and it was a dream run. Do you know, that was a word of wisdom from Heidi, Christ follower, trusted friend, been through a similar scenario. And so at that time, Josh finished middle school, and we said, you know what, we're going to put you at the local high school. And can I tell you, that was the greatest move we made for his life at the time. But can I tell you that every child in your home is very individual, very different, wired so incredibly different. But we need wisdom for all of them, right? You know when you start with the firstborn and you're like, okay, we got it down with the firstborn. Then the secondborn comes along and it's like, okay, you march to a different beat. What is happening over here? The one that's just a little bit rebellious, doesn't really want to be a parent pleaser. And then you get to the thirdborn. Thirdborn's just crazy. Billy Graham said this towards the end of his life. He was asked, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? And he said this, I would have invested more time in study. In other words, continue to be a great learner. More time in prayer. I'd have been more present with my children and wife and taken few speaking engagements. And then he said, I would have chosen the moments that truly require my voice. And I want to ask you this morning, what in your world requires your voice right now? The one thing that you go, this is the most important work that I'm doing, maybe parenting, mothering, but it may be a business that requires your voice in a way that you haven't given it. Could be a friendship, could be a marriage, could be any number of things, but what requires your voice right now? Second thing is, don't let the problems you face engulf you. John 10:10 says, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. So let me suggest to you to allow, to live your life in a way that allows Jesus in. You know, a couple years ago, and Steve has briefly mentioned this, Steve was diagnosed with stage 2 prostate cancer, and so we went on the journey of what does that look like. And I want to preface it by saying I know some of these people here or people in your world that have been given terminal diagnosis. That was not our situation, and yet it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? So little thing that you got to take care of. And I remember, so first of all, it was like, okay, we're just going to monitor this. And so to be honest, we didn't really talk about it until there was another blood test, or there was another MRI, or there was a biopsy that had to happen. We just didn't allow it to fill our mind. Now, when you hear those words, when a doctor says those words to you, you're like, whew, okay, breathe, okay. Because life, real life, comes with challenges, right? But then we just decided as we were sitting in there and listening to the doctor, he said, okay, I think we got this plan. And we're like, oh, time out. Can we just have a little bit of time? He goes, oh yeah, I could give you a little bit of time. Well, in the process of that, through our son Sam, who lives in Texas, we connected with an incredible organization. Well, actually, it's a cancer center called MD Anderson, and we ended up, you know, Steve, we figured out what the treatment was, and we went to MD Anderson. And so we were in Houston, Texas for 10 days, and he had 5 rounds of radiation. That was what we landed on that was right for us. And can I say to you, whenever you're facing a big scenario, you hear that word, cancer, which is scary, right? And it's okay to be a little bit scared. We're human. But when you hear that word, or maybe it's some other thing that's just like, whoa, I just want you to take a deep breath. Say, Lord, you're in the driver's seat of this. My life, our life, it's in your hands. And so we were led to this place. They were phenomenal. I mean, at MD Anderson, you meet people there who used to work there and now are volunteers. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. But here's the thing about not allowing it to engulf. Our ordinary everyday wasn't consumed with it. We just dealt with it when we needed to be. Now, I'll preface it again by saying when you're in a terminal situation, that's a whole nother level. I'm not talking to that. I'm just speaking to from our experience. But what I've also realized is that God shows up. The Bible says His Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And as He does, you realize, Lord, you're showing up in ways I couldn't have imagined. One of the ways He showed up for us, you know, Steve is a big baseball fan. So while we were in Houston for 2 weeks, the baseball season started. I forget what they call it, the first game. Opening day. Opening day. So opening day was the day before his last treatment. And so we're like, great, we're in Houston. We'll watch the Houston Astros. Great, opening day. I wonder who they're playing. They were playing the Mets. I've just learned. If you're following Christ, if your whole heart is yielded to Him, if you're seeking Him with everything in Him, in you, you will find Him in ways you can't even imagine. Often we miss it because we think it's got to be big. But actually, it's in the ordinary, everyday stuff. I just nearly ate it right then. That would not have been good. Romans 12:2 says this so beautifully. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I want to say after that, that sounds really easy. It's really hard to do. But you're looking at someone who was raised in a cynical, sarcastic, negative world and culture. And I am not the same person I was when I started following Christ because I've allowed His word to come into my heart in the good times and in the tough times. And He's transformed my life. You know, we encourage people to be in church every week. There's a reason for that. The moment you walk out of here, there's a lot of things that want to grab at your heart. Confusion, chaos, just turn the news on. Negativity, relationship issues, health stuff, work stuff. You know what? I got to come back in next Sunday. Lord, that's right. I worship You. You are the Lord of my life. I got to sit under the Word of God. I got to allow His Word to infiltrate my heart. That's why we need to be in church. Because we cannot do this life alone. And I want you to find Him in the ordinary every day. A couple weeks ago, Alyssa and I went to a women's conference in Dallas, Texas. We took her little baby girl, Isla, who's 9 months old. On the Friday morning, we were staying in a hotel, and we went down for breakfast. And I said to Alyssa, what will we feed Isla? Oh, Mom, she can have some scrambled eggs. So we got these scrambled eggs. She is hoeing into it. She is, you know. An hour later, we're in the car, and Alyssa looks at her, and this little baby girl, there's this rash, legs, torso, starting to go to her face. So we call the pediatrician. Alyssa calls the pediatrician here. Hello, we got this going on, and what can I give her? They're like, oh, no. You don't give her. You get her to an urgent care or an emergency room. And so we rang a pediatrician, they couldn't see her, and we found an urgent care right near where we were. And this is, church, I just want to help you because the Holy Spirit's leading you every day, and you know, sometimes we discount what's happening in the moments where we're like, oh, you know. Anyway, so Alyssa gets in there, and because they're like, we got to see if this is starting to go to her face, you know, those of you who know with allergies, what can happen. And so anyway, Alyssa's sitting in they take her back. They literally saw her straight away, which was so wonderful. Anyway, the doctor walks in. We're in Dallas, Texas, and Alyssa and Jared live in Norfolk. And she goes, oh, Norfolk, Virginia. We don't see many people from Norfolk, Virginia here. And then she says, I love Norfolk. I did my training at EVMS. I used to live at Ghent. Warmth, connection, everything's going to be okay. Friend, listen, I want to tell you that God is at work in your ordinary every day. There are moments where Jesus shows up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that doctor who made a connection, and 45 minutes later, they gave her something and she was fine. So there you go. Number three, keep showing up. It's a funny thing when you're not in someone's shoes, it's easy to criticize and critique. You know, I worked at a local court in my early 20s before I had kids. And these moms would come in and bail their kids out. Before I was a mom, I'd be eye rolling. What in the world? Why are they doing this again? What? And then I had a child. And then I realized, come hell or high water, I'd be bailing this kid out too, right? But I just want to encourage you, show up for your kids. Show up for your people. It's really important. Make sure you go to those concerts. Make sure you are the biggest cheerleaders when your kids are playing sports. Show up, show up, show up for different seasons in family life. A few years ago, our younger son Sam and his daughter Laurie lost a baby. She went into the hospital, she went into the doctors for a regular checkup at 14 weeks. No one prepares you for this. An ultrasound scan, no heartbeat. I remember getting the phone call from Sam. Mom, we've lost the baby. I was actually in North Carolina going to speak. As he called, I'm driving. I'm like, okay, I just have to put that information right there for now. Afterwards, I called him. I said, Sam, Devoted was going to start the following Thursday. It's busy. I got a lot going on. But I love my kids. I said, Sam, we've got one day. We can fly in. If you want us to be there, whatever you want us to do and in whatever way, we're praying for you. But if you want us to, he said, Mom, would you and Dad come? I said, 100%. We flew to Dallas for one day. Why? Because you show up for the people that you love. When their heart is hurting, it don't matter how old they are. It don't matter if it's your kids or your friends. Be that friend. When others are rushing out, run in. When you don't know what to say, drop off something on the porch. Text, phone call, message. Give them a hug. Sometimes stuff happens in life, there's no words. But it's your presence. You know, Steve has all of our grandkids' names tattooed on his back. He said to Sam and Laurie, because they delivered a little baby girl, 14 weeks, they called her Daisy Joy. He said to them, if it's okay with you, again, being respectful of your adult kids, church, if it's okay, if you don't mind, I'd like to put her name on my back too. Oh, Dad, we'd love that. Thank you. And so Daisy Joy is on his back with some little angel wings either side. We show up. We love. We respect the relation. You know, for some of you, you've got little teeny kids, but as they get bigger, relationship changes. Can we be respectful and honor that? Some of you are sitting here today and it's a rough day. Maybe you won't even see your kids today. I just love this verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Okay, I don't understand everything that's going on, but Lord, that's how I can pray. Everything will be beautiful in your time. Thank you that eternity is set in every heart. Now, Holy Spirit, do your work. Draw them to you in Jesus' name. Lastly, choose to believe the word of God and meditate on it. Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Think on, meditate in his word. You know, I know that there's people here today and you're like, Sharon, you don't understand. I made some choices, decisions. Or does God really know? Does he really see? Like, why is this happening to me? Can I encourage you, church? Change the question you ask. Lord, I need you. Please help us walk through this. Could you help us, Lord? Absolutely, He will. I've been meditating on, you know, a month ago was Easter. And I've been thinking about Mary, Jesus' mother, at the foot of the cross. At 6 a.m., basically, they ordered that he would be crucified. At 9 a.m., the crucifixion starts. At 3 p.m., it ends with his death. The picture I get when I meditate on it is that Mary's right there. Why isn't his dad there? Well, actually, his dad, had many believe, had passed away. Why aren't his siblings there? I don't know. There were probably six of them. No one else is there. You might say, your family's dysfunctional. Jesus had a dysfunctional family too. He had siblings who were like, who do you think you are? Bah. He gets it. He understands. Right as he's about to take his final breath. Now remember, this is an agonizing death, and you have the weight of the sin of the world. And for a minute he looks out. He realizes that as the oldest son of the family, it's his responsibility to take care of a widowed mum who has no other means to be taken care of. Siblings aren't there. No one's there. The weight of the world, agony of death, and he looks out and he goes, woman, John, one of the disciples, the only disciple was there. He's your son. John, this is now your mom. Why do I point that out? Because very often we think Jesus doesn't care. Where is he? And I was just reminded as I meditated in that moment, he knows it all and he takes care of it all. And so wherever you are today in the issues that are facing your life, I want to remind you, God knows, he cares, he loves you, and he will make a way. His widowed mom was well taken care of.